Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, Meta is expected to report its first quarter earnings tomorrow. WSJ Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher tells us why some analysts have high expectations. And then, when tech platforms encounter images and videos of child abuse online, those materials are often sent to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which maintains a database. But a lot of the nonprofit's technology and processes are outdated. We'll hear about how the system works and how it might change from WSJ reporter Jeff Horowitz. But first, Meta investors have had a lot to be happy about so far this year. The Facebook parent's valuation has surged, and its market cap of over $1.2 trillion is 13% above the peak it saw in late 2021. And even with the tech sector-wide sell-off last Friday, the company stock was up 36% for the year at yesterday's close. WSJ Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher is here now to tell us what analysts will be looking at in Meta's first quarter earnings tomorrow. Dan, big picture, what are analysts expecting from Meta?
Well, it's expected to be, a very strong advertising quarter, and that's pretty much all their business, their actual revenue. And this kind of continues what we've seen over the last couple quarters with them, where they're back to this 20% plus growth area that they used to be in, and then the pandemic made things volatile there and some other changes. So the main business is growing well. They're investing a lot in AI, but obviously the quarter will be about reporting essentially how ads are doing.
Yeah, why are expectations so high? What has changed for Meta over the past year?
Part of it is they're coming from like a deep rut. In late 21, they were facing kind of a slowdown in advertising, some other struggles, continued scandals about user privacy and other types of things. This is when the company was called Facebook. And then Mark Zuckerberg announced, we're going to change our name to Meta. We're all about the metaverse. We're going to spend a lot of money in this. And the stock just absolutely tanked. And that shook things up. So not long after that, he basically pivoted and then did a lot of cost cuts for one. They called it the year of efficiency. So they laid off a lot of people and then the ads started bouncing back. So a combination of those things, revenue growth is back, earnings are up, their costs are down, and they have this kind of new excitement around AI. They released their latest large language model last week. Analysts expect that can really help the advertising business in particular, help Meta do better targeting, help the user experience. We'll see if that actually happens. That feeds investor and excitement. What's also feeding in, it's hard to say how much, but this idea that TikTok might be banned. That looked a couple months ago like a very remote possibility, wasn't going to happen at all. All of a sudden, it looks like a pretty significant possibility because the House passed a measure over the weekend. It's going to go to the Senate. They're expected to pass it. The president's expected to sign it. So ultimately, that's going to end up in the hands of the courts. And that's been one of Meta's fiercest competitors over the last few years. That kind of has investors excited because a lot of those ad dollars could end up flowing right into essentially Instagram, mostly Instagram and Facebook.
What are some factors that could be a thorn in Meta's side this year?
Keeping up the growth and a lot of stocks and companies that have benefited from this AI hype, they're going to have to show how does all that spending actually benefit the company and the business. Online ads can swing a lot too. That is a business that it can change a lot based on global events. When Russia invaded Ukraine, when we had war breakout in the Middle East, that does impact spending of advertisers. And Meta got really hurt a couple of years ago when Apple made some changes to iOS that hurt the ability of companies like Meta to track users to sell ads. It just speaks to the risk that this is a business that really has a big unpredictable quality to it.
That was our Heard on the Street columnist, Dan Gallagher. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. Coming up, why is the National Database to Protect Against Online Child Abuse dealing with outdated technology and legal constraints? That's after the break.
NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, or NCMEC, was founded in 1984 with the purpose of finding missing children. Think photos on milk cartons. That was them. But in 1998, the nonprofit started handling reports of online child exploitation as sort of an intermediary between tech companies and law enforcement. And though the number of reports that the organization handles has increased from about 4,500 in 1998 to 36 million in 2023, much of its technology and processes seems stuck in the days of the early internet. WSJ reporter Jeff Horowitz joins me now with more. Jeff, when someone reports an image or video of sex crimes against children to a national database, what happens to it? What is that process like?
So reports get filed when they get filed, whether that's via a private individual or by a major internet company. Those go to an organization called the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, aka NCMEC. And so this organization is the choke point through which pretty much every report from major social media companies and the public go through. Now, the social media companies account for by far the majority of that volume. Historically, NCMEC has done this kind of as a one-off basis. It would go into a queue and then someone at NCMEC would download the report, look at it, see who that needs to go to in terms of a local law enforcement organization in the U.S., or maybe if it's a international IP address, then they'd forward that to some entity in Europe or India or wherever. And so their job was to triage, basically, incoming reports from everything across the internet.
What is NCMEC's relationship with big tech companies like Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and Meta?
Officially, it just receives voluntary tips from them. Under the law, NCMEC can't make any demands of platforms on behalf of law enforcement or itself. That would be something that might raise Fourth Amendment concerns of unreasonable search and seizure based on some court cases.
NCMEC has a number of rules and restrictions it has to follow. What does that mean for how it handles images of online child exploitation?
One problem is that the rules that this whole process was designed for, they should have changed over time, and they haven't. For example, because it's illegal for anyone to transmit child sexual abuse content electronically, it turns out that the police have to mail in like thumb drives and CDs of this stuff, which is not safe, it's slow, it's inefficient, and worst of all, it's sufficiently a pain in the rear that oftentimes law enforcement agencies around the country don't bother doing it, which means that basically pictures of victims just don't get put into the database. NCMEC has actually tried to fix this. They set up an online portal and they in fact got shut down because the law that gave them the authority to process this stuff didn't give them the authority to use modern computer technology, aka cloud computing.
Why does it seem difficult to make those kinds of modern tech updates to NCMEC's system?
A few issues. One of them is very definitely resources. NCMEC has a little under $30 million a year under their last public financial disclosure to basically handle all of the reports coming in from major platforms across the internet. It was 36 million reports last year. Second issue is just technological capacity. This was an organization that it's not based in Silicon Valley. It doesn't have a large engineering team. And so traditionally over the years, it's sort of had to ask for help or at least accept help from major tech companies. So it's an outdated system and wasn't meant for the volume that came in from the internet.
You write that the volume of reports is exploding. Why is this happening now?
This is a lot social media. There is, first of all, just the scale of user base. If you have billions of users worldwide, then inevitably there's going to be unfortunate things that show up. There's also the question of sometimes some of this stuff travels around, gets recommended, and so it gets seen by a larger audience than would have seen it otherwise, and they report it. And then there is the fact that the platforms themselves have gotten much better at detecting this stuff through automated filters.
How could NCMEC be better prepared to handle the reports it receives? And is change potentially coming?
There is legislation that currently looks set to pass Congress that would lift some of the more onerous kind of legal strictures on how NCMEC operates that pretty much no one thinks make any sense. So one of those things would be allowing NCMEC to process and store electronically in the cloud images of abuse so that it can analyze them, build models that are capable of detecting things that are similar, just kind of really get into the 21st century in terms of computing. Then there is a change that would allow child victims of exploitation to not face theoretical legal risk for sending NCMEC evidence of abuse committed against them. Right now, there just simply isn't a carve-out for that. And then there would be a requirement that platforms hold on to evidence in child exploitation cases for longer than 90 days, which is currently the legal maximum they can hold on to it for. This is an issue where, in some instances, just the timing of reports, that by the time that law enforcement has a chance to get a warrant and ask a platform for data, it'll be gone.
What would be the impact if this process were made more efficient?
NCMEC would have a larger database of abuse content that could be used to fight that material popping back up across the internet. There would be probably a better system to prioritize cases for law enforcement.
That was our reporter, Jeff Horwitz. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang, with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.